Well, hello everybody, my name is Miles Matheson. I'm a solution specialist for application platform at Microsoft New Zealand. And I am just really, really excited about presenting to you today and literally looking at doing something that I haven't done before. So it's going to be a little bit of an adventure. I'm going to try and do as many demos as I possibly can. And I actually really want active audience participation because we've got lots of prizes to give away. So just before I get into it, how many of you do Twitter? How many of you are tweeters? Good stuff. You're in it to win it, okay? So here's my Twitter handle. I want you guys to tell me how I'm doing during our session, because we're going to have a look at that hopefully by the end and see how well we're doing. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's get straight into that. What we're going to do is we're going to have a look at some of the key tools around the Power BI suite. Now, I know most of you have probably been through quite a few Power BI sessions at TechEd this year. Hopefully you've seen Dandy. His session is just pretty awesome. I'm actually just going to cover off something a little bit different. I'm actually going to do a full end-to-end demonstration with you. So we're actually going to build up some analytical models. We're going to review some of those models. We're going to see how that works. But to kick it off, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just have a look at how TechEd's going. Who wants to see how TechEd's doing? Everybody? Yeah, I want to see how TechEd's going. So let's just have a look at that. So I just go number two and click on mix. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up Excel 2013. And what we're going to do here is we're actually going to be using a new refreshed version of the Twitter Analytics add-in that's been written by Extended Results. And in fact, in the PowerPoint presentation, all the links and all the citations of what I'm showing you today are embedded in here, so you can download it. So let's just open up my TechEd Twitter Analytics workbook. So I did a refresh yesterday just to pull down some of the content to see how things are going. But let's just do a quick refresh of the data now. So I'm just going to refresh the query. Now, it may ask me to validate my account, which is great. Authorize app. All right. So just quickly do that. Authorize. And so now what this is doing is it's going through and it's just tracking down the hashtag TNZ. And it's pulling down all the tweets that have occurred over the last couple of hours. Now I'm just going to very, very quickly just go and refresh all that data. And what's happened is that in the back end, it's actually using PowerPivot. Now PowerPivot is an in-memory tool, as you know, but what this is doing is it's got a specialized backing store that's pulled down all the tweets that Extended Results have worked on. So it's got a specialized provider for Twitter. So it's just refreshing all of that. Let's just have a look at what's going on. So we're in the final day. We're in the home stretch, and you can clearly see that people have stopped tweeting. Obviously, first thing in the morning after last night, it was pretty hard to get into it. Now, what's exciting about this application is that we're actually not only are we able to see who our top tweeters are, we're really able to see who are their influencers and who's not. You can obviously see NZ SQL guy, which is me. I don't tweet very often. Sometimes I don't think I have very much important to say, so I just use Twitter for this kind of thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the kind of sentiment that we've got going on inside the event. So we can see quite a few hashtags here. We can see the top hashtag, of course, which is TNZ. Let's just have a look at the people for a moment. And this is the kind of thing that we're going to be doing here. So we're going to be looking at how many people are tweeting. And so if you tweet in my session against my hashtag, I will, and look already, Smart Girl is in the lead. We will actually give a prize for that. Now, there's a couple of other things I wanted to sort of show you here, which is really exciting, is the fact that Power View is also inside Excel now. And what's exciting about this is that we now actually have the ability to take the geolocation of those tweets and map them out and see where they're going. So you guys can see everyone over the world is excited about TechEd New Zealand, as they should be. And we can actually predominantly see that New Zealand is absolutely the place that's tweeting the most. So let's just drill right down in here. And you can obviously see people from Hamilton are tweeting about TechEd, obviously wanting to come to TechEd but didn't make it. We can scroll right down in and see where the bulk of the tweets are happening. And of course you can see that obviously it's happening in the convention centre right here, which is pretty awesome. Obviously we've got the ability to analyse by mentions. So we can see who's doing the top mentions. We also can have a look at who is our key Twitter profilers, so we can actually start looking at this. Funny thing, at home this works. It actually brings through the pictures of the your Twitter picture, but for some reason it's not working today. And you can see there's been a few hashtags from last night. I might try and avoid the embarrassing. I think I have to look at what sausage. There was a lot of sausages, wasn't there? Right. So I think that was about the food. I don't remember seeing any of those. I ate a lot of ribs last night. And obviously, we can actually drill down right into the tweets. But what's really interesting about this application is it does something really simple. It does a simple word score. And from that word score, we're able to derive something like tone. Okay, so we can say whether the tweet was positive or negative. Now, it's really basic. And the reason why it's really basic is that it doesn't handle some of the key things that you might expect, like sarcasm, irony. That doesn't work. Okay. And guess what? We're in the most ironic, sarcastic culture in New Zealand. So if someone says this was a really good thing, the score would probably come out as neutral, not as negative. And the way that tone dictionary is done is we actually have a little tone dictionary here, and you can see the different types of words: amazing, awesome, best. I should have had shot, bro. That would have been probably a better one in there. So we're going to come back to this app later on in our session, and I'll be really keen to see how well I'm doing or not doing, actually, with this. So I'm just going to close that. Now, I'm going to try and keep PowerPoint to a minimum, but I do have to just do a little bit of citations because this is just to give you an idea about where I got my data from. And I think probably the first thing that I wanted to tell you is that we've got some amazing, amazing sets of data. And one of the things that I was really excited about was looking at doing something a little bit different. Now, I present a lot to customers, and I have to say I do use AdventureWorks quite a lot. So I was looking for a new data set. And something happened a couple of months ago. The Economist did a really interesting... Went a bit fast there. The Economist did a really interesting set of articles around global crime decreasing. In fact, did a little bit of research, and in the States, they believe violent crime is decreasing. And I thought, you know what? What's happening in New Zealand? So I went to New Zealand Stats, and you know, it's an amazing amount of data up there that's free, publicly available for you to use. Okay, they have a Creative Commons license, which means that you can use it for some of your applications, you can use it for research, and it's free for you to download. Might not be in the best structure for you to work with, but it's there, and you can go and use that data. And so I looked at this data and I said, look, you know, I'm gonna do some work with it. Now, I actually downloaded this data set. I did have to do some manipulation, and I didn't think you guys wanted to see me do a lot of cut and paste today. So I did a little bit of things to sort it out. The very first thing I did was I actually transposed the years, okay? Because a lot of publicly available data sets that I see around the world, in fact, the World Bank, World Health Organizations do this, they publish what we call matrix. So they basically create this matrix of data. Terrible to report against. That's nasty. We want to roll stuff up. We want to be able to analyze it. So we had to do a little bit of manipulation. And my intention today is really sort of look at whether crime is decreasing in New Zealand. And I'm going to basically build up an analytical model with you, work with that inside Power Pivot. And then I'm going to publish it up to the new BI platform called Power BI. And what's really exciting about Power BI is it is a cloud-based platform for us to be able to not only publish our analytical models for our business users to use, but we're also able to create mobile apps. Now, I know Dandy showed some of this stuff, but what I want to do is I want to do a full end-to-end demo, not a canned demo. I'm going to build this, publish it, and we're going to show it all up through the course of our session today. That's the end of the PowerPoint. No more PowerPoint slides. But obviously, I want you guys to remember to tweet at NZSQLGuy, because otherwise our Twitter experiment's going to be a bit depressing. Right, let's get into that. I'm getting this video mixing stuff like a pro now. Right, so I'm just going to open up Excel again. I'm going to do a fresh book. So before I drive too much into it, hands up who's using Power Pivot today. Oh, wow. So the rest of you have not used Power Pivot yet? Wow. Okay. So I'm going to cover off PowerPivot a little bit. I'm just going to do a little bit of a view of what PowerPivot is. And I know it hasn't been covered in detail. People just opened it up and shown you some data and gone, wow, this is pretty cool. So let's just have a look at what PowerPivot is. PowerPivot is an add-in for Excel. It's a free add-in. Okay, and it was new in Excel 2010 with SQL Server 2008 R2. We're now on the second generation of this, which is SQL Server 2012. And obviously within Excel 2013 actually already has the add-in installed. So if you've got Excel 2010, you can go and download this, all right? And the link's in this deck here if you want to go and download that tool for Excel 2010. So let's just have a look at this. So you'll notice that this is in the main tab here. You can see there's a couple of things here. And I'm going to just want to talk about some of the features that sometimes people sort of gloss over. PowerPivot is designed for business analysts to be able to work with data and prototype and analyze data. Okay, and so data's going to come from multiple different data sources. Primarily, those data sources end up in Excel. So if I was building a model, one of the things I could do very quickly, if I had a spreadsheet here full of data, I could click this button called Add to Model, and it would basically take either my selection or my Excel table or my Excel spreadsheet and knock that up into the PowerPivot model. I'm not going to do that just yet. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to import some data. So let's just click on the Manage button here. And so what Manage is doing is it's taking us to the PowerPivot engine. Now, PowerPivot is not Excel. It is actually an add-in. It's a separate area. And it's based on the X-Velocity technology. Now, X-Velocity is through everything. It's through SQL Server. It's through Excel. And it's also through SharePoint. So it's our consistent engine for in-memory analytics and in-memory data. So let's just have a look at where the kind of data that we can get through. So I'm just going to click on from other data sources because it gives us everything. So what we're able to see here is we're able to take data from SQL Server, the Windows Azure platform, the Parallel Data Warehouse, that's our big data appliance, really, really awesome for working with large amounts of relational data and unstructured data. Obviously, Access, I'm sure you've got lots of that. Oracle, Teradata, Sybase, Informix, DB2, any other OLADB or ODBC provider for a database that no one necessarily knows about. So if you've got an ODBC driver, we can use that. Here's something really interesting with PowerPivot, though. I can obviously take analysis services, but I can also take reporting services reports. So if you've got SQL Server 2008 R2 reporting services, you can publish that as a data feed. And what that does is that PowerPivot actually sees the queries as tables inside that report. So that's a way of potentially giving a prototyping environment for some of your business users, a managed data source. We're also able to use the Windows Azure Data Marketplace. There's lots of data up there, not so much for New Zealand. There's a lot of demographic information for China and India and the States, so that's really great if you're an international company. But there's also, the UN also publishes the worldwide GDP numbers up there as well, so that could be really interesting to work with. We also have the ability to take a little bit of your data by using the suggested related data, take that up to the Azure Data Marketplace and see if we can find a match. Obviously, it asks you to do that. It doesn't do it in the background without your approval. We're also able to take and consume OData feeds, and OData is actually becoming more and more prevalent, so there's a lot of stock data that's presented this way. A lot of the credit agencies publish RSSS feeds this way, so you're actually able to consume web service-based data feeds. And of course, trusty Excel, and of course we can pull in a text file. So we're just going to open up an Excel file. And this is actually the place where I actually did a lot of the manipulation. So let's just go and pull in my data. So I'm going to say that the first row has got the column headers in it, because that's how I've set it up. And I'm just going to have a look at my raw file. So let's just open that up. And we're going to click Next. Now, what you're seeing here, even though it's Excel, this is the same experience you would have against any data source. So whether it's Oracle or SQL, Teradata or DB2, this is how the database tables will be exposed. So let's just have a look at our crime data table. So I'm just tick that. And I click on Select Preview and Filter. So let's just go and have a look at what's going on here. Now, Preview and Filter is really interesting. What we've got here is the ability to look at a sample of the data. So you can see these are all the locations that have been made up. And in fact, this data set is using the police boundaries for their precinct. So what we've got here is what the New Zealand police deems a region. So if you see your region up there, we can do a little bit of analysis on that. I'm actually going to get rid of New Zealand because all of our data rolls up to New Zealand. We don't need a total. So remember that matrix I was telling you about? That data basically has things like total, all of New Zealand's. It also has another attribute called total offences. Of course, we don't need these because we're not consuming it in a table. We're actually consuming it in a model. Also, I can, if you notice there, I use that to filter the data, but also the ability to hide columns that I don't want to bring in. So I'm unchecking the location and offence matrices. So one of the key things I did with this data is I had to actually map out all the offences and all the locations by row because, unfortunately, the data was an XML matrix, so it was very hard for us to have repeatable, consistent rows. That's one of the things I sorted out. And I don't want this total seen at all, so let's get rid of that. So this is the data we're going to bring in. We're bringing all locations, all offences, by year, recorded and resolved. So let's just click OK. Now, I've also got my location table. Now, I just want to have a look at that. So let's just go and have a look at that. Now, what the location table is what I did was I decided that I want to do a little bit of geospatial analysis. So I used the Bing Map service to go and look for the longitude and latitude points. And it's not an exact science. I just picked the middle of the region. I went, oh, okay, this is Northland. Bang. That's where all the crime's happening in the middle of the national park. So basically these points I'm going to use to render my data out. And again, of course, I can get rid of New Zealand because we don't have that anymore because we took that out of our data. So let's click OK. Now, if I had lots of tables, I had lots of data, for example, if I was going against a data warehouse or relational system, and those systems actually had referential integrity enforced, I could actually automatically detect the table relationships from the database metadata. Okay, so this tool will detect that, but only if you've got referential integrity enforced or set up inside your database. So let's click Finish now. So we're going to bring this in. Now, this data set is for the last 20 years. It's pulled through all of the recorded offences and resolved offences by region. So it's pretty interesting stuff. So we're going to have a look at that in a minute. So I've got my data set in here. And you can see I've got my location 1 and location 2. I'm actually going to rename them. So let's just give it a name that makes sense. Instead of calling it location 1, we're just going to call it location. And of course, offence, we're just going to call it offence. So I can actually start renaming the columns and giving them some meaningful names, which is pretty good. Now, there's something really interesting here. And obviously, what I've got here is I've got the number of resolved cases versus the number of recorded cases. Notice I'm not saying arrest here. I'm saying resolved. So that looks to me like a close rate. And what's really powerful about PowerPivot is that I can use the standard Excel functionality that your Excel users know and understand, the same sort of calculations. I can do all of that inside PowerPivot. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to click on basically use the simple syntax of setting up a calculation. So how do I do that? I press equals, of course, like in Excel. And I click on the cell, just what I want to use. So I want to say the number of resolved cases over the number of recorded cases. And what that's done now is it's gone and created a percentage for me really quickly. And one of the things I can do with this as well is I can, you know what, let's actually turn it into a percentage. Let's rename this. Let's give it a meaningful name. Let's just call it close rate. Handy little thing to have a look at. You can see some of those are low, so it'd be interesting to see what's going on there. Now, like all systems, when I'm building calculations or I'm importing data, it's really handy if I start documenting it. And PowerPivot gives you the ability to create descriptions against the objects you're bringing in. And these come through into technology like PowerView as tooltips. So close rate, well, let's actually just give it a bit of a description. So close rate, funny enough, close rate equals. Yeah, it's got kind of obvious, but obviously the calculation is important. So resolve cases over recorded. This is where everyone works out, I'm not good at spelling. Right, so now that's going to come up as a tooltip. Now the other thing that we can do with Power Pivot is that we also have the ability to create KPIs. And this is what a lot of business users will do, is they'll take data out of some of your traditional systems, and then they'll build a spreadsheet, looks kind of like a dashboard as a prototype, and maybe they'll come to you and say, I want to productionize it. Well, let's actually just show how easy it is to do that. So I'm going to do a couple of things here. The first thing I'm going to do before I start building a KPI is that one of the things about close rate is that we don't actually want to sum that up. Okay, so if we sum that up, it's going to not be meaningful, right? So average close rate makes a lot more sense, right? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a calculation. And the way I'm doing that is I'm clicking on the calculation area inside the Power Pivot model here. And I'm just going to click on this button here called Auto Sum. Now when I click on the arrow there, you can see I've got a few predefined calculations. So I've got average, sum, distinct count, count, max, min. I'm just going to click on average. And what this is doing is it's basically creating a simple calculation that I can use through all of my reporting. Just like Analysis Services does a calculated member, this is what we're doing inside, inside Power Pivot. So I want to do the same thing for recorded and resolved. So I'm just going to do auto sum for recorded. And of course, I can rename these. I can actually just call this total recorded. And I can do the same for resolved. So let's just do that. Let's click on auto sum again. And what this KPI engine does is it gives us the ability to do very simple derivative KPIs. So what we're going to do here is we're going to look at the total number of resolved cases against recorded and create a KPI indicator based on that. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to click on that total resolved. You can see a new icon's come up called Create KPI. Does everyone see that? So let's just click on that. And what you'll see here is a really, really simple KPI engine here. So I've got the ability to compare against my calculated fields that I've created. I could do average close rate, but we're going to do total recorded. I could do an absolute value. That's really handy for survey type scenarios where you've got to force a value. And you can see I've got lots of different icons here. This is quite a cool project one you could use. Never quite sure who uses the Foursquare one or the progress bars. Any marketing people? Marketing people love gold stars, so that's a great set of KPIs people could use. We've got lots of different icons that we can work through, and understanding your audience is really important. I actually prefer this one because if you're colorblind, you can see the shape, so that kind of makes much more sense. And what you'll see is I've got a couple of different bandings here. So I've got on target or either side of the target is good. Off the either side of the target is good, for example. On target's good, off target's good. And so these are all actually really simple banding type things. So I'm just going to do the on target one. And you can see I can actually just say anything up to 60% is bad. Okay. Anything at 95%, you can see I just actually moved that. But I can actually just type in here as well, so I can just give it a hard value, gets green. So that gives us our banding. We also have the ability to put, again, descriptions against that if we want to. I'm not going to do that today. We've already covered that off. So let's click OK. Now, that's sort of setting up our model. Now, the more time we spend on the model, the more usable it's going to be for our users and for us. So we can reuse this as many times as we like. So I'm going to do a little bit more work with this. And so you remember our location table? Well, that table's actually not connected to our crime data. And we can do that. So in Power Pivot, what we're going to do here is a very simple join here. I'm just going to take location to location. And so that's a very, very simple mapping of the relationship now. Now, it did two things when I did that. The first thing it did was it checked that the location column was unique in the location table. Kind of need that for a join, right? The second thing it did was it checked that it must have at least one value that matches in the offences or the crime data table. Just about finished with this before we hit and do some interesting stuff with it. So I wanted to just add some dates to this. So let me just show you how easy that is. So what I've done here is I've created a very quick dump of data. You know that that we've got data that's in the year column here, but I don't have anything that sort of marries it up. So I want to group it up by decade. And I may actually want to do some time series analysis if I want to. So I'm basically going to take these columns here and just copy it. And now I'm just going to go back to my power pivot model here. And this is how flexible it is from a mashup perspective. When I click on paste now, it's actually pasting in that data into my spreadsheet. Now obviously it's not linked back to the original data source, so this is something that I can just easily use. So I'm just going to call this date, funny enough, and click OK. And so that's basically mashing up that data. Now that's not connected to anything again. So what we're going to do here is we're going to drag year over to year, and it's ready to go. Perfect time for me to click save, I've decided. So I'm just going to quickly save this. And I'm just going to call this Checkered Crime. Right, okay. It's got many connotations. Right. So what we've got here is we've got our model. Now you're probably wondering where the data's gone. It's actually just hidden in the backstage there. So I just need to click onto the pivot model there, and I'm good to go. So we've actually got a whole series of other things that we can do with this data. So for example, we can create hierarchies if we wanted to. So I could actually create a date hierarchy. And let's rename that. I'm going to give the original name of date hierarchy. And so it's very simple, top level, next level. So I'm just going to go decade, year, and of course I can actually also put in date. And so that's how easy it is to create a hierarchy. It's very forgiving, by the way. When I mean forgiving, if you get in the wrong order, you'll get things funny. So if you get some strange results, it usually happens at this point. Okay. Now let's just go and start doing some analysis. So I'm going to just do a couple of charts here to have a look at what's going on. So let's just go put that into a new worksheet. Now there's a couple of templates that we had there. We had multiple different templates that you can go and have a look at later. So first thing I'm going to do here is I'm just going to have a look at the number of recorded, number of resolved. I'm going to do that by year. Now let's just turn that into a line chart. So one of the things that we want to really understand here is whether crime has been decreasing overall. And so what we can see, this is the other thing that happens, the Excel charts have this thing called buttons. We're going to not use those today, so I'm just going to hide all those buttons on chart. So you can actually clearly see here that crime is, it looks like it is tailing off. I was actually looking at some research done by Victoria University and also, believe it or not, One Network News picked up on this. And they said in 2011, we had a 15-year low in crime, which was interesting. It's around about this point here. So we're going to do a little bit more analysis and understand what type of crime is actually decreasing. So let's just put it in something around location. So one of the things I want to do here is I actually just want to see by location the number of offences recorded and resolved. Now, I know this is a bit of a messy chart, so we're just going to hide these here. And obviously I'm showing everything here, so I want to make this a little bit easier for us to use. So the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to use slices. Now slices are a way of filtering the charts using the data in our model. So let's go to the Insert tab here in Excel and insert a slicer. And what you'll see here is that I have the ability to go back to my data source if I wanted to, or I can use my in-memory model in PowerPivot, which is what we're going to do. So we're just going to click on Tables and Workbook Data Model. And the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to pick offence, I'm going to pick decades, so it's a way of us grouping up from our hierarchy. And I'm also going to pick location. And so that's going to give us three slices that we can now use to track and analyse the data. So let's just make this looking a little bit easier for us to use. Now these aren't actually connected to anything at the moment. In fact, let's just make that so they are. So click on the slicer here, and you'll see this slicer option comes up. Let's click on report connections, and I click on chart 1 and 2. Bang. I'm going to do the same for decade. So this means that we can have filters going against the different visualizations or against all visualizations if we want to. And we'll click OK there. So ready to go. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick my favourite places, the place that I live in, which is Counties Manukau. I live all the way back in Manurewa, a little place called Wattle Downs. I love it out there. So let's just have a look at what's going on in crime here. And you can see actually that there's actually a bit of a peak going on here, a bit of an outlier, theft and related offences. So let's just go and drill down on what's going on in that particular area. So let's just go and click on theft and related offences. And what we can see here, if we were actually really looking at the data, we can actually see that there's a lot of recorded results, but not a very, very low close rate, very, very low resolution rate. So it could explain, you know, how to fix my insurance. We just actually look at what's happened in the last 3 years. We can actually see that there is a really strong gap there, which is a bit of a problem. So I want to do a little bit more flexibility around understanding that. So I'm just going to quickly take that KPI that we created and have a look at what's going on. So what I do now is I'm just going to manually insert a pivot table, again, just from our data model, just like you would do a normal pivot table connection. Click OK. And what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to basically take from the crime data, I'm going to click location, because we might want to compare more than one location. I'm going to take the offence, and we're just going to take the close rate. And I think probably from a time perspective, what we're going to do here is we're just going to take the year. So I'll just drag the year across. Now, what you'll see is that this is just that matrix again that we had from stats, but it's actually not very useful. Now you can see this problem here. It's aggregating. So what we want to do is instead of using the sum of, we want to use that calculation that we created called average. Now also, if I wanted to use my little scorecard indicator, I could actually put in the scorecard status as well beside the close rate, so I can actually see whether it's good or bad. Now just kind of coming back to this, you'll notice that our slices aren't connecting to that, so let's just really quickly add those slices to that pivot table. Very, very quickly, it won't take long. And so now those filters will actually be applied to that data. So we can see that basically theft and other related offences is actually is trending upwards. Now, I was doing this in front of a customer. I said, hang on, what about the number of recorded versus the number of resolved? Because you're kind of hiding the close rate kind of hides that. And I just want to sort of demonstrate that by looking at homicides. So let's go and have a look at homicide. So what's very interesting about this, and something that I'm really, really proud of, Counties Manukau for the last 3 years has 100% close rate around homicides. That means that if someone is murdered in Counties Manukau, they will be caught, which is brilliant, right? Very, very good. Not so good for the person who might have been murdered. Right. So let's have a look at, say, Auckland District, for example. Now, you'll see that Auckland District for the last 3 years, that's absolutely trending down. And again, they have a close rate, not as good as Counties Manukau, but they are going down. We obviously can have a look at Bay of Plenty, Canterbury. So violent crime in Canterbury, for some reason, is particularly homicides, has kind of gone up a bit, which isn't so good. So a couple of things I want to do first, though. Let's just make it again about Counties Manukau. And what I'm going to do here is just have a look at illicit drug offences for all time. And what's really happening here is that we are seeing a major trend occurring around drugs. And what's very interesting about this data is that when we actually start comparing other regions, so maybe we want to look at Bay of Plenty. Bay of Plenty actually has a larger number of offences, and I'm actually going to show you that in a minute. So let's just get this ready for prime time. Now, what I want to do is I want to make this a bit more of an app that people can actually view and use on multiple different devices. So my theory is that this is something that perhaps the police could use when they're communicating out to the community about how they're doing a good job. So let's just make this a little bit easier rather than making it look like Excel. So first thing I'm going to do here is just give it a title. So we're just going to very, very quickly put in a title here. And we're just going to call it NZ Crime Analysis. And we'll just make it a little bit more bigger. Just make it look a little bit better. The other thing too is that we want to make it not look like Excel. So let's just go to page layout, get rid of the grid lines. So it's now starting to look much more like an application. And we can actually just rename the sheets, of course, as well. So we want to do that. So we're just going to call this Crime Analysis. One of the things that we want to do as well with this is that when we publish it up the application, particularly the BI Power BI app, what it does is it actually uses the chart title. Now, not the title that you put on the chart, but actually what the chart object's called. So what we're going to do here is we're going to, instead of call it chart one, let's call it recorded. Recorded, resolved by year. So now let's just go and have a look at the other chart here, chart two. Let's actually give that a name that's meaningful. So let's just go offence by recorded, resolved. So when we actually see this in our mobile app, it actually has a title. Just do one more thing with our pivot table here. Let's just rename that. And we'll just call it Crime Scorecard. And again, we'll just make this look pretty as well. So let's just get rid of the page layout. Actually, this is a good point where I can actually mention that we actually have a whole series of templates as well. So you could actually create your own style template. So for example, there's lots of different themes here. I'm just going to use Integral today. It gives us a much more cleaner, crisp look. Okay, so this is our crime data. It's pretty much ready to go. However, I do want to just show you one other thing before I publish it up to the Power BI portal. And that's the ability for us to use Power View inside Excel 2013. If you have Excel 2010, you can't do this. So great case to go to the next version of Excel. So let's just click on Power View. And what this is doing now, it's now actually going and interrogating our Power Pivot model, and it's giving us that interface to be able to create and interact with the data. Now, Power View is not a tool for creating calculations, okay? It is really a data visualization tool. So let me just show you what I mean by that. So I'm going to do a very simple chart. I'm going to go to our crime. We're going to go and look at offence. We're going to go and look at the number of recorded, number of resolved. We're going to turn this into a chart, column chart. In fact, what we might do is might just turn this into a stacked bar chart. So move that over a bit. So that's our chart here, which is great. Now, what also I'm able to do is I'm actually able to create a very, very simple set of slices as well. So for example, what I can put in here is I can say, look, I want to have location. And I can then just basically go and turn this into a slicer. So let's just turn that into a slicer, make that a little bit easier. So now what I can do is I can look at Auckland District. I can look at Canterbury. I can look at East District. I can look at Wellington. I can also look at Counties Manukau. And we can just give this a very quick crime analysis. Right. So I'm going to click Save now. Actually, I might just rename that. Click Save. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to really quickly go to my Power BI portal. And this is the place where I can actually upload that data up to the Office 365 Power BI platform. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to add, it actually works exactly like SharePoint. So if I want to add a new model, I just click on Upload Document. I can go and choose my file, which is what I'm doing here. So it should just be on my desktop here. Or under my documents. I'd save it to my SkyDrive. Oh, excellent. Thank you. There we go. Right. I'm glad someone was watching. Right. So now I'm just uploading that document. And now I can actually customize this if I wanted to. I can put other things in here. I could do a workflow, for example. I'm now just going to click Save. And so this is now uploading up to the Office 365 Power BI platform. Now, if I actually just have a look at my Techie Crime data, what you're going to notice is that the experience is exactly like Excel. So I've got the filters here. I can go and look again at Counties Manukau. I can go and pick something like fraud. Let's go and have a look at fraud. And this is interesting. Fraud is not actually being closed out very well. If we actually look at the last decade prior to the one that we're in here, you can see there was quite a big peak in the early 2000s, but it's been tapering off. We look in the where we are now, it's continuing to taper off, but we're not actually resolving as many as we'd like. Also, we still have that Power View experience as well, and that, again, that's inside the Power View app inside the Excel document that we created. So let's get to the next one. Right. Okay. So what I want to do here is I'm actually now looking at using my RT. So this is my Windows 8 RT. So as you know, it's the tablet OS. It's not the desktop OS that Windows 8 is. And of course, it comes with Office, but it doesn't come with the full capabilities of Power Pivot and Power View. Obviously, you can see I take myself very seriously. So I just log in with my picture password. Now, this is an app that's actually available on the Microsoft Store now, so the Windows Store. If you want to actually download this app, it's available. There's a few examples here. But what we want to do is we actually want to go and find the application that I downloaded, that I created. Let's just go and click on Browse. And what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to my personal Power BI site. Don't worry about that error. It just comes up every now and then. So I'm just going to go to my documents and find my little location for this, which is good. Here's me. And I'm just going to open up my Techie Crime data. Now, I have if you realize what I'm doing here is I'm actually bringing down a mobile experience now without having to go and rewrite the application. So it's automatically taken the pivot tables that I've created and the Power View report that I've created, and it's rendering it through. I'm just waiting for it to do it for the first time, so it's just caching it. Just give it another couple of minutes. Oh, let's go try again. Don't worry, I have another example that's not working for me. Now, we also have the ability to tell a story. So if you imagine the mobile experience for your business users, you want to have a simplified experience. There's no way they're going to build a model like I did on a slate or an RT. So you want to give them an ability to tell a story and work with their data. They still can do things like filters. They can still actually change the filters and so on. So I can say, look, I want to look at Manukau and apply that. And it's now going to go through and apply that to the chart. And again, I can do that with the offences and so on. I also have the ability to look at my other charts. Now, if you look at these charts are actually the charts that I created in my Excel workbook, right? So let's just keep going through that. You can see also I've got my pivot table. This is actually the scorecard when it comes through. So you can see that it's showing Counties Manukau, showing the close rate for all the 10 years for the illicit drugs. And of course, I have the ability to look at the Power View report that I created as well. And as you note, I didn't pre-bake this. This is something I just did in front of you, and I loaded it straight up, which is great. It all worked. Hey, that was good. Right. I think I should give myself a prize. Right. Now, one of the things that I do wanted to sort of highlight to you as well, though, is that when we actually look at the data, some of the experiences that you have with Power Pivot and Power View inside on-premise is also available inside the portal. So let's just have a quick look at that. Right. So if you remember our model that we'd created, we actually also have some ability to do some additional analysis and drill down on that. And one of the things we've got the ability to do, if we wanted to, is actually drill inside the chart. So I want to just quickly show you this. When I click on this on the bar, just like in Excel, I can actually do a quick explore and drill right down into that chart. So let's just go and have a look at it by date, drill to hierarchy, and let's just do that again. Yep, there we go. It's now showing it inside that chart. Now, I didn't rewrite the chart. This is all inside the browser. And if you noticed, it went to a different table that I didn't include in the chart. So if you think about that, it's a really powerful way of being able to work with the data in a way without actually changing the report that you're working with. So that drill capability is inside inside the browser as well. Right. Well, I've got a little bit of extra time on my hands, which is awesome, and I'm really pleased about that because I want to do a little bit more analysis on this data. So I want to just go back to our Tech Ed Crime Workbook for a minute. And what I'd like to do is I'd just like to do a few more visualizations with inside Power View. So what I'm doing now is I'm just going to insert a couple of other charts just to show you how powerful Power View is. So one of the things that we've got with Power View is the ability for us to do some geospatial analysis. So let's just go and have a look by offence, number of recorded, and let's just turn this into a map. And so what you'll see here is nothing too much to see just yet. What I want to do now is I actually want to pull in the location. And again, that's not making much sense, right? And that's because the locations around the world, it appears that Auckland, Christchurch, Canterbury are being used all over the world. But what we can do is we can actually pull in latitude and longitude. Let me just get rid of that location. That's not making much sense. And what we've got now is the ability to view that data for New Zealand by a geolocation, which is pretty cool. And then we can drill right down. Now, what this has done is it's actually gone and used the Bing Map service to resolve the longitude and latitude. And we can actually take address data as well. So if you've got address data, it will take that up to the Bing Map service. We'll find the geolocation for that longitude and latitude and bring that back down and paint that inside the map, which is pretty awesome. And of course, you can see here we've got the different views here, which is pretty awesome. So there's another thing that we can do here as well that I want to have a go at. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do another two charts to show you some other interesting things. So what we're going to do here is we're going to insert another Power View map. But what we're going to do this time is we actually want to see how things have played out over time. So let's have a look by location, number of recorded, number of resolved, and let's just turn this into a scatter chart. Insurance companies do this a lot. They use this for sort of risk analysis and population analysis. So not too much to see here at the moment. Let's take the average close rate, make that the size, and if we're really interested in seeing how things performed over time, let's bring in the year. So let's just drag in from the date dimension, let's just bring in the year, drop that into what we call the play axes. So what this is going to do now is it's going to show the progression over time of all offences across all of the locations. And obviously what we want to do is probably only focus on one particular area. So there's a couple of ways we can do that, right? We can maybe do another chart very quickly. So we can go and take location, and we can take the close rate. Maybe what we want to, we actually want average close rate again, remember? So we're going to go and take the average close rate. And we're going to turn this into a chart very quickly. So what we've got here, we'll just make this a little bit bigger. Got average close rate by location. We're going to look at Bay of Plenty here, and we can actually play out Bay of Plenty by itself, and we can see that over time it's pretty much staged in the same spot. But if you notice when I did this, that the bottom chart acted as the filter for the top chart, and that's the other thing that's really powerful about PowerView, that it's a fully interactive chart. So one last thing I wanted to show you from a visualization perspective, and I hope you're all tweeting because Dimmy and I got a lot of prizes to give away. What we're going to do now is we're going to actually insert a new type of visualization called Power Maps. Now, I know that you've probably seen Power Maps quite a few times, but what I wanted to do very quickly is show you how Power Maps is working with that data that we've created. So here is our Power Pivot data, and what you can see what we've got here is we've got location again. So what we can do is we can take latitude and longitude. It's automatically detected that they're longitude and latitude. So let's just map it. There we go. So it's now mapped New Zealand. It's mapped out all of those grid points. Now, if we were really interested, we could actually turn this into a column chart, for example. So what we might want to do is we might want to look at the number of recorded, for example, by New Zealand. In fact, I can get rid of this layer here. And we can just make this look a little bit more easier to look at. So we can clearly see that Auckland has actually got quite a lot of issues there. It's where the bulk of a lot of the crime is occurring. So it's been out there. Now, the other thing we could do with this, which is really interesting, is we can actually turn this into a heat map. So one of the things we can do here is we can actually show the hotspots of crime inside this, which is pretty cool. All right, I think we are ready to have a look at how Twitter's gone. So let me just close down what we've been working with here. And just open up Excel. Okay. So I'm just now going to, wrong workbook here. Let me just open that up again. So here's our data. Let's just go through again and refresh that data. And I've just got to authorize the app. Very secure, this one. No chance of my Twitter account being hacked. I know I've just jinxed myself saying that, right? Right, let's go authorize now. Now it's going through and it's pulling through all the results down for the query that I predefined. Right, let's click close. And of course, what I need to do now is just go to data, refresh all. Just wait for that to come through. Okay, so let's have a look at NZ SQL Guy. Obviously, we're not going to see a huge amount other than the last 2 hours, which is great. Oh man, this is pretty cool. Up to 52 tweets. This is pretty. I wasn't sure this was going to work, so this is good. Right, so we've got quite a few hashtags here, which is pretty good. We've got quite a few top mentions as well. Let's go and have a look at the people here that are focusing on the @SQL NZ. No retweets. That's pretty cool. Everything's is pretty original. Smart Girl has absolutely got the most followers and has been doing quite a few tweets against us as well. So obviously you're in for a prize. Let's just go and have a look at that map again. And of course, nothing's going to change too much in here for us, but I think that the key thing here is that when you think about the location data that we're getting access to now, we can really see where the data's coming from. And again, we can just filter on NZ SQL guy. Oh, someone from Europe's tweeting me. All right, that's cool. Okay. So these are all the locations that people are saying they live at. And we can go drill right down to see how many people were. I've got a big following in Hamilton all of a sudden. That's pretty cool. Right. Let's just focus on NZ SQL guy. And this is actually my profile. Okay, so that's interesting. Not many hashtags. I'm going to go for the details. Okay, so these are all the people that have tweeted during our session, which is pretty cool. Let's just have a quick look at the tone of our session. This is just for my benefit. I know you guys are all going to do evals, but I just wanted to see how well I was doing. And, I can't do that on the filter on this, so let's just click on filter here. I thought I could actually filter on me, but it's actually just showing for the whole thing. So let's go back to details. Dimmy, I'm just trying to think about the best way to give away prizes, and we actually have some pretty awesome prizes to give away. In fact, Dimmy's the new product manager for SQL Server, so he didn't realise he has to do this, but he has to come up on stage. Come on, Dimmy, you're going to have to do this for me, mate. I modelled it last time. So we have two grand prizes, and I just want you to actually see how awesome this is. You didn't think you were going to be able to do anything like this. All right. So there's not many prizes that actually have a lifestyle attached with them. Yeah, absolutely. So so the great thing about this is it's a unisex bathrobe. So NZ, so with the tweeting, I think we definitely have got to give Smart Girl the bathrobe. You don't have to come up, by the way. You can come at the end of it. But I'd like to open it up to questions now so that we can give some prizes away. Just one out of the back there.
How does this fit into the business device?
So what devices does it support? Or
the business device clients that you can buy.
Oh, okay. I guess the way I'm seeing this fit, and I actually have this in the presentation for future reference, is if we actually look at this is sort of the general sort of premise that you're talking about. So I've got data that's coming to model different devices. I've got data coming out of my data warehouse, maybe out of my relational system. So I need some sort of governance model to manage that. This is a very basic model, and I think if there's anything you're taking away other than that crime is decreasing and that Manukau is the place to live, that basically you need some sort of governance framework. So let's just talk about that for a second. Your BI team today will be managing data. Basically, data comes into the data warehouse, it's cleaned, it's validated, it's checked. If it needs to be changed, it's a change control. It goes through a formal change control process. So let's give the reports that are based on the data warehouse that are managed by the BI team, the data that's in the data warehouse that's managed by the BI team, let's call that gold class. That means that those reports have a high status, they're managed, fully managed. But let's give some of our business users the ability to create a second class, an ability to take data from different source systems like I did and marry that up and then share that with other users. Let's call that silver class. So what we're doing there is we're giving a context around different types of data assets. And because it's silver class, it's not as good as gold class. And so what I'm predominantly saying there is that you're making sure that there's a framework for managing the reports. And of course, it goes all the way down to bronze class. That's use at your own risk. And what's great about that is that when you think about how we work as humans, how we make decisions, we don't need everything to be 100% accurate, okay? And in fact, a lot of mature data warehouse departments or teams in New Zealand, they do struggle with the amount of BAU that they have to live with and the amount of changes that they have to do because there's a lot of technical debt. And some of those changes shouldn't be in the data warehouse. So technology like Power Pivot that I just showed you is a great way of alleviating that and working out what should be in the data warehouse. So if you want to talk a little bit more about that, that's absolutely worth the T-shirt as well. All right? Okay, so the way Power Pivot works, right, it automatically aggregates data based on the tuple that you're working with. So basically the intersections of the attributes that I've got inside the pivot table. Now what I was doing there is I was specifically creating a calculated placeholder just using an average. The actual by year intersection, so offense year, that division would be the actual rating. But when I added multiple years together, that's when it would be incorrect. So that's why we created the average.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's your average is incorrect, because you took the average of the averages, and that's not statistically.
No, I'm not doing it. There are no averages. So I've done an average of all of the percentages. So maybe I am statistically incorrect. Felt good for me when I was looking at it, but yeah. Still think McKinnell's the right place to go. Still worth a T-shirt, right.
Power BI, is it part of the SharePoint?
Right, so Power BI is its own separate product. So it's not available yet. It's coming around about the SQL 2014 timeframe. You'll need an Office 365 subscription and it's an additional subscription to access the Power BI functionality that I just showed you today. Yeah. Right, so if they are opening the Excel file, they won't be able to see this. It won't work. But if you publish it up to SharePoint 2013 or 2010 on-premise, or you publish it to Power BI, they will be able to view it inside the browser. And it is also HTML5 as well. Yes? So do you have the ability, this is early at the moment, so I'm not showing you the managed refresh, but you have the ability to refresh the data automatically. So if it's against a data source, you're able to enable a special data gateway that your IT team would enable that would allow you to schedule the refresh of that data up to the Power BI platform. With SharePoint on-premise, that's already built in. It's called the managed data, and gives you the ability to do that refresh. So you can refresh by data source, or you can refresh by the actual analytical model that you're creating. You guys down the back.
One of the data sources is exercise. If we choose to work on the exercise data, can we republish the work what we are doing?
Right, so your data source is reporting services, and you change the reports. What happens to my Power Pivot model that's against that report? Is that the question? Oh, no, we can't publish it as an SSRS report. No, no. This is sort of a different generation of technology. So reporting services is still really great for operational detailed reporting. This is much more of the data visualization and analytics part, which is great. Oh, yep. The parity is there. The big difference is the SharePoint doesn't do HTML5, so we'll be doing HTML5. So that makes the interaction with HTML5 applications much better. So one, two. I'm going to do three more questions, and then we're I'm over. I'm done. I'm sorry. Thank you very much, everyone. Please fill out your evals, and we'll catch up with you soon.